Michael Byers, what are some of the events looking back at 2015 that really have marked the Arctic, in your opinion?
Well, I think the single most important development in 2015 has been the continuation of cooperation in the Arctic, including centrally with Russia. There has been no interruption of Arctic cooperation despite the significant tensions elsewhere over Ukraine.
How would you explain that?
Well, I explain it on the basis of a couple of factors. First of all, there's a clear mutual interest in continuing Arctic cooperation. The Arctic is a very large, very remote, hostile environment where countries cannot accomplish some important things unless they work together. For instance, search and rescue often requires cooperation between neighboring countries, or dealing with issues of pollution from shipping. Oil spills requires cooperation between neighboring countries. So there's been a mutual interest in continuing this cooperation. And secondly, the issues in the Arctic are quite significantly different from the issues in Ukraine. The Arctic is not an environment where there is a military tension or conflict. It's an environment where countries have been focused on issues of common concern like environmental protection. And so it's easy for states to distinguish the Arctic from the situation in Ukraine, and that has enabled them to separate it.
Now, the 2015 also, so especially in Canada, we had the change of government almost in the second half of the year. How has that affected Canada's vision of the Arctic? Do you think the Liberal government has an Arctic policy?
I have seen no evidence of a serious Arctic policy on the part of the Liberal government, except with regards to the most important issue, which is climate change. The reason that we talk about the Arctic is because climate change is having such an incredible effect there, melting the sea ice, opening up shipping lanes, making it easier to access natural resources. Climate change is the dominant issue in the Arctic, and the Trudeau Liberals during the campaign made climate change a part of their campaign, and since the election have been making some very strong promises for action. Now, of course, promises are one thing and actual delivery is another, so I'm waiting, along with millions of Canadians, to see whether Mr. Trudeau's climate promises are real, whether there is, in fact, committed serious action. But on that central issue, certainly they have been saying the right things. On other issues in the Arctic, including issues of economic development, of the need for radical improvement of the social, healthcare, education systems in the Arctic, on issues related to environmental protection, we haven't heard much yet, but these are early days.
Now, let's take a look at 2016. So what are some of the events or some of things that you will be looking for in 2016?
Well, I am hopeful that the Liberal government will reintroduce the office of Arctic Ambassador for Canada. This is something that we had in the past, and they ended it. And I think that Canada needs a designated Arctic ambassador, someone along the lines of Sheila Watt-Cloutier, the former chair of the Inuit Circumpolar Council, who was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize for her work on climate change. I think that the Trudeau government has to show meaningful leadership on climate change and relate it to the Arctic. And I think it needs to step up with some serious financial commitments to northern governments to help improve the situation concerning education, concerning healthcare, concerning housing, and perhaps centrally some meaningful action to address the crisis of suicide in northern communities in Canada, where the suicide rate is many, many times the average in southern Canada.
How confident are you that the Liberals will also move ahead with some of the infrastructure promises that the conservatives had made in terms of developing the deep sea ports in the Arctic, the icebreakers for the Coast Guard and the Navy supply ships for the Navy. What do you see on that front?
Well, I think the Liberal government will have to finish the construction of an all-season road to Tuktoyaktuk from Inuvik to Tuktoyaktuk, completing the Dempster Highway. That project is underway, and it would be foolish to stop it. However, in contrast to that, I think the Liberal government should very quickly reevaluate the need for the Arctic offshore patrol ships that Mr. Harper promised in 2007 and finally signed a contract for in early 2015. Those ships are still in the very early stages of construction, and there would be time to change that project to use the money for real Arctic icebreakers, not these lightly ice-strengthened naval ships, but real icebreakers for the Coast Guard. We need three or four medium icebreakers to help continue the Coast Guard's ability in the Arctic. And when it comes to the promised deep water port at Nanisivik, I think there's a real case to be made for actually locating that port at Iqaluit, the capital of Nunavut, where 8,000 people live, where the port could actually serve an important civilian function in addition to supporting the Navy. Well, I think it's important for people to realize that Stephen Harper made a lot of grand Arctic promises, used the rhetoric of Canadian Arctic sovereignty, but actually did very little. And I think that Mr. Trudeau and the Liberal government have to bear in mind that that promises that are not followed by action ultimately undermine a government. I think that happened with Mr. Harper in the North. The Conservatives lost both of their Arctic ridings in Nunavut and the Yukon. There's a price to be paid for not carrying through on promises. Northern Canadians follow these issues closely, and they punish governments that do not deliver.